And I'm your host, Andy Pate, filling in for John Rush, along with the great Marie Chavez. Are you having fun?
I'm glad to be inside instead of outside right now, Andy. I gotta say.
Like I said earlier, they said it was going to be dropping like almost 10 degrees an hour for a few hours.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if it really is, or maybe, you know, anytime you hear that, it winds up pushing in a little slower than you thought.
Mm-hmm.
Bottom line, it's going to be really cold. When I get home, there's going to be a frozen chihuahua a couple lawns away.
That, what was his name? Fighter or something?
Well, I call him Killer. I have no idea what his name is, but, you know, he's very aggressive. And he's very outspoken on politics, by the way. Killer, we talk.
Does he lean left or right?
You know, he's kind of a moderate, but he's got his issues.
Okay.
Never mind. I'll let it go. Okay, on the line right now, we got Kurt Rogers with the Monday Mortgage Minute. How you doing, Kurt?
I'm fine. How are you guys doing?
We are doing well.
Staying warm. How about you?
Doing fine. You know, I don't think winter wants to let go.
I don't think it does either. By the way, when this happens, does it slow down sales like for a few days and then they pick up? Or are people so wound up right now they don't care?
They don't care. The weather, because most of the stuff we do is all online anymore.
This is very true. Hey, one thing that everybody's talking about right now with home buying is the bidding war. Because I have never, and I got to be honest, I have never seen, Kurt, where we have so few homes for the buyers. And it's just... Anybody, unless you put your house out for some ludicrous price, you're going to have a bunch of people and they're going to be bidding and you got to hang back. I mean, how are people handling this?
And it is very difficult. I've been doing this for over 20 years and I, like you, have never seen this happen before. And what it's causing is like a feeding frenzy to your charts. There are so many people moving into Colorado that want to buy a home. And they're just driving up the prices. The builders are doing the best they can to build homes as fast, and that's another topic in itself. But the bidding wars that are going on out there, you're seeing homes that are going to get, you know, anywhere from 8 to 15 offers. How do you get through all of that to make sure your offer gets accepted? And there's some basic things you need to do.
Okay,
what
about?
You're seeing homes that are selling for $50,000 to $80,000 above asking price.
What are some basic things you should do?
Do not, and your realtors, they'll tell you the same thing. Do not go out to start looking at home until you get pre-approved. And what I mean by that, it's not just calling and getting basic information that, yeah, you would qualify. Because what's happening is the selling agents are now calling to make sure that that loan's gone to an underwriter and they've looked at it. They've made sure that you have more cash than what you need in case the appraisal doesn't come in. They're asking you to waive certain things that are on a purchase contract, like termination dates or inspections, because the houses are selling. You have to be prepared for what's coming. So get ahead of the game, get pre-approved, turn in some basic documentation so an underwriter can do it, because then to the selling agent and the seller, they see it as a cash offer. And it may be less money, but they know it will close much quicker.
You know, Kurt, that's a great point. You go back a few years and you could drag your feet a little bit. But now when you're looking for houses, you are competing. You got to think in terms of competing. You are competing against a bunch of people who are already pre-approved, ready to go.
Well, yeah, there's about 30% of the people that are moving in that are just paying cash. So if you're not in that game, if you're not being able to get a loan approved and be able to make it look like cash, you're not even going to get looked at. And those are some of the things that a lot of people don't like, but that's what's going on in the industry.
Kurt,
and the selling agents, like I said, they're calling up and they're asking a lot of firm questions that you never had to answer before to find out how approved you are.
So, Kurt, you can help people with all of this. My question is about the home values. You said people are moving in from out of state and overbidding and hiking up the prices. Are these home values creating like a false bubble? Do you think it's sustainable?
Yes, I do think it's sustainable. And you bring up a very good point. One of the issues right now that we're facing, because values are going up so fast, because these people are paying cash, you may have had a home in February in your neighborhood that sold for $550, but then 2 weeks later, one sold for $600, then another one sold for $625. Now you're looking at buying a house for $650 to $675. Well, the comps, the appraisals, aren't going to justify that $675 because you don't have a 6-month run of homes in that area. That's creating another problem. The appraisers can't catch up to the values moving. So it's normally going to require you bringing more cash. But the values are going to continue, because right now we're going to continue at this pace for the next year, because rates are low. There's a lot of people moving in. And now with the economy coming back and unemployment going down, there's going to be more people want to buy a home. So it's going to keep moving forward.
Okay, Kurt, hey, last question here, because I want to jump off what Marie was saying. How long do you think this could last? In other words, you're thinking of getting a house, right? Do you jump in now, or is it just too hard, you know, too much of a seller's market, but you need a house? What do you do? How do you time this? Or if you want to sell, is now the time to do it? Do you grab it while it's hot, or do you wait a bit?
If you're wanting to buy and you need to buy a home, in my opinion, jump in now, because it's not going to hurt you, because the values are still going to go up 6% to 8% for 2021. I don't see that changing at all. I don't see the market slowing down till this time next year. So if you're looking at appreciation, it's going to be there. Waiting is going to do nothing but cost you money. And by the end of this year, you're going to see interest rates, because of this and inflation, they're going to jump up to 3.5% to 3.75%.
Well, I would say that
just going to cost.
I would say the first step is probably to call you. So how can people do that, Kurt?
720-895-0500, or they can go to our website at aimortgage.net.
Fantastic. Okay, that's Kurt Rogers at Affordable Interest Mortgage with the Monday Mortgage Minute. Kurt, you got anything else for us?
Actually, tomorrow we're going to be spending a whole hour on Your Money Matters on the show we're doing tomorrow. Talking about more in depth about how this works and how to help yourself be able to buy a home or refinance your home.
And what time's the show?
Starts at 12 o'clock.
You heard it, guys. You got to listen in at 12 o'clock tomorrow on KLZ 560. Kurt Rogers with Affordable Interest Mortgage. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Kurt.
You bet. Bye, guys.
You bet. And speaking of Affordable Interest Mortgage with Kurt Rogers, he'd love to help with your mortgage needs. Maybe you want to move, upgrade, buy a second home, or just refinance. Doesn't matter. Kurt's your guy. Call Kurt at 720-895-0500 or go to aimortgage.net.
How low rates are staying? Still in the twos. Back in the 40s and the 50s, rates were in the 5 to 6% range. How much longer are you going to wait? Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. Your home has never been worth more. Take AIM to get that lower rate or shorten your term. Lower your payment and pay thousands less in interest. It's your money. Call 720-895-0500 now. Affordable Interest Mortgage. Locally owned and family operated since 2001. Are you ready for the future financially? Many of our clients have the ability to access their equity for 30 years without raising their payments now. This prepares them for those speed bumps of life. Ask how you can become mortgage safe too. Take AIM, 720-895-0500, where a reputation of putting you first and listening to you is unmatched in Colorado. Call 720-895-0500 now so you can focus on what's important, family. Regulated by DOR, NMLS 298191, Equal Credit Lender.
Franktown Firearms is next, and right now the wait time is about 6 days to buy a firearm. If you're looking to start a collection or add to it, go in now before those wait times get even longer. 720-770-7777, or you can find Franktown at klzradio.com.
Find more guns and ammo at lower prices, only at Franktown Firearms. Everyone says they value long-term relationships with their customers, but the team at Franktown Firearms back up their words with actions by keeping their prices fair and their shelves as full as possible. Because they maintain good relationships with their suppliers, the team at Franktown Firearms has developed a reputation for reliability, which allows them to keep their shelves stocked during nationwide shortages. Because they always have new shipments coming in, they haven't had to hike up prices, so you can find guns and ammo at or below MSRP. You will go back again and again to a shooting range and gun store where you feel respected, and the team at Franktown Firearms shows respect through reasonable prices and a consistent supply of guns and ammo. Fill out their contact form at klzradio.com/franktown for specific pricing. Franktown Firearms, where students become friends.
And welcome back to Rush Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Andy Pate sitting in for John Rush along with Marie Chavez. And on the line right now, we have Annalisa Pesek from The New American. Annalisa, how you doing?
I'm so well. Thank you for having me on the program.
Oh, no problem. Now, I feel bad for you, though, because you're having to report about something from California. That's never good.
Seems like the news coming out every day from California just gets worse and worse, I'm sorry to say.
Well, do us a favor, because I guess this is about what happened to a restaurant that is a Trump hangout. But walk us through this, because it seems like everything that happens in California hits Colorado soon after.
They say that so goes California, goes the rest of the country, right?
Yep.
So the story is, it's happening in Burbank, the city of Burbank, which is in the San Fernando Valley in Southern California. And what has happened is this restaurant, it's called Tin Horn Flats Saloon and Grill. It has been shut down for violating the COVID regulations set in place by Governor Newsom and by the Burbank City Council, who has enforced those mandates. I was told by a supporter of the restaurant that within 2 weeks of complaints coming in, and the city deciding to take action, that they cut off the electricity, they padlocked the doors, and then they erected a 10-foot-high fence around the restaurant. That took 2 weeks. So that is a very quick,
wow,
quick turnaround for the government to enforce anything, let alone take the livelihood of this small business.
Annie, we should get them in charge of the wall at the border.
Yeah, I was kind of thinking, but I thought, you know, barriers were a bad thing.
Only if you're a small business, but I think Maxine Waters has quite a wall surrounding her mansion. I could be wrong, but so yes, they have taken very extreme measures to pretty much ruin the livelihood of this family-owned restaurant. It's owned by the Lapigians. The father is, I believe, not in the country at the moment, so the children operate the restaurant, his son and daughter. His son has been arrested 3 times for trying to take down the barriers. In fact...
Okay, whoa, before you race on there. So they're arresting the son for trying to open up and feed their family.
Essentially, exactly that. Yes.
Oh, okay.
Right.
I just want to make sure that we're clear on what's going on in America. So for opening up and trying to feed your family, we are going to arrest you and put you in the slammer. But if you want to riot in Minneapolis, have at it.
Now, does every single restaurant on the block who violates a rule, do they also get a barrier and padlocks? Or is this just focused on this one restaurant?
Yeah, because you'd probably run out of barriers and padlocks pretty soon.
Well, unfortunately, it seems that this restaurant is being singled out. And one observer told me that the fencing is of a material that she said it was like a solid steel door, that you could not cut through this material if you had all the power tools at your disposal. It was very tough. So how much did that cost? And, you know, the city is spending all this money to board up this restaurant that, while I've heard it's a popular watering hole for Republicans, it does sound like other businesses in the area are also bucking the system, and they're not opening, or they're either not, you know, completely defiant, but they'll put up their signs that say you know mask required or the social distancing. This restaurant did not do that, and I think that it's kind of like what's happening in the church. Some churches are being allowed to stay open, and others who are speaking out against what the government is doing are somehow getting slapped with exorbitant fines. It's just a double standard.
Okay, we'll get to the church in a moment, because you just brought up something else that I want to talk about. But first, what were the actual violations by this, you know, obviously crime syndicate level family running this restaurant? What did they do?
Well, this is a first generation immigrant family. I should note that. They apparently were operating without a permit that the health department took from them. So because they were staying open, I guess the county had declared a ban on outdoor dining, and the restaurant said, you know, the owner said, well, we have to live, we have to eat. So they decided to open up the restaurant and continue to serve outdoors, but they were following the COVID restriction or the COVID regulation.
Okay, so wait a minute. So even though every single study tells us that it's better outdoors, it's safer outdoors, you have circulating air, you're in better shape, California shut it all down. These guys tried to stay in business and actually feed people and get money for it, and so California shut them down.
That's exactly what happened, from what I've understand of the story. And they are being hit with, I think, over $55,000 in fines.
Oh.
The family is not going to pay those fines, they say. So, you know, they are fighting back, which you got to hand it to them for doing it. The son is 20 years old. He's just a young man who is coming up against, the Goliath of government right now. It is, it's just unheard of. I can't really, but thank God he's, this courageous young man who's fighting back because he believes that he is doing the right thing, and he is.
So while we have 20-year-olds rampaging and ransacking through Minneapolis, this 20-year-old wants to feed families at a restaurant, and that's his crime. I'm just making sure I understand all this. By the way, is it Annalisa or Annalisa? I've been saying Annalisa.
Oh, you've been saying it right.
Yay! Once a year I get something right, and you were there. Okay, so this is infuriating. $55,000 in fines. We all know that restaurants go under most of the time anyway. How on earth are they going to do this?
Well, I read that 30% of the 30,000 of the 90,000 restaurants in California are expected to close permanently. So is Tin Horn Flats going to recover from this? We pray they do, but there are thousands of other restaurants just like them that agreed to close and probably will never reopen. So thankfully, there are community members who are banding together to support this restaurant. I would like to just mention that this group called Brave, in case your listeners are interested, it's a nonprofit, that's B-R-A-V-E, and it's Businesses Revolutionizing American Values and Enterprises. This is a group that is getting together and trying to, partner with these businesses to help them get back on their feet. It's made up of business owners, so it's like a coalition of local business owners. And something that another agency is doing, which I thought was a very interesting idea, is they are starting to serve what's called constitutional affidavits to the city council members. And the idea is to hold these city council members accountable for their actions because what they are doing is unconstitutional. And so they've found that after they've served the city council with these papers, some of these lawsuits are being dropped.
Awesome.
Very cool. Yeah. Now, Annalisa, we have a lot of passionate people listening to KLZ who love small businesses and restaurants. We've had some similar stories in Colorado where KLZ really banded together. So I know you mentioned Brave, but if people want to help pay these fines specifically for that restaurant, is there a way to donate to a fund where you can pay these fines?
That's what I was going to ask.
Yeah, well, the GoFundMe page was apparently shut down recently.
Of course.
But they did have a GoFundMe page, and you may be able to go, your listeners could go try to find that again, but at the time that I looked, they had raised around $81,000.
Great.
But yes, your listeners are, should definitely go try to find it. It. Last I heard, it was taken down, though.
And what's the name of the restaurant?
It's Tin Horn Flats Saloon and Grill.
Tinhorn Flats. And if you can't find the GoFundMe, then it sounds like the business owners group, the Brave group, is a good place to go.
Yes, yes. And this story is getting some national attention, and it's one of the stories is getting the attention it deserves. I mean, in Michigan, another restaurant owner was jailed, I believe, back in March, a Polish woman who refused to close her restaurant, and she was in jail. I don't know the details of that story as closely as this one, but it's another tragic story of just livelihoods being, you know, decimated for absolutely no good reason.
Well, you know, but that's totally understandable in Michigan, where their lockdowns are working so well that they right now lead the country in new cases and deaths with coronavirus. So, hey, way to go, Governor Whitmer. You're really protecting your people by shutting down these helpless businesses.
And so much for the left being pro-immigrant.
Yeah, how about that?
Exactly, right? So how is that recall in California coming?
Oh, man. Well, they got the signatures, right? I mean, they've got plenty of those. So now it's just a matter of getting, you know, getting it official, putting it through, and then getting the right candidate. And I heard, wasn't it going to be a member of Trump's team that was probably going to run?
Oh, really?
Yes.
Well, that's more promising than up here. I'm in Washington State, and
I'm sorry. My condolences.
Yeah, we're in pretty much the same boat. But I believe Tim Iman may be running against Jay Inslee. But you know, the situation isn't much better up here. And Canada, don't even get us started on Canada.
Oh, they're right nuts.
Right before I got on the air with you, I saw an article saying that the residents of Ontario are issuing an SOS, saying, you know, to us, to people across the border, they feel like they are being held hostages, and like this is, they have the flag upside down, which is a sign of distress.
Annalisa, up there in Canada right now, in places like Ontario, I'm not kidding, and I'm a bit of a bunny trail here, I hope you don't mind, but you can only walk through a park. You can't use any of the playground equipment. You can't use any of the stuff and enjoy it in the park. You can walk through quickly and get out. That's how much they are wrenching down the control on them.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I read. And it is, I mean, it's just heartrending. Like, what is happening? The citizens are really crying out. So, we want to say this is never coming here. This is never coming here. I remember reading about Pastor Coates up in Alberta, Canada, whose church, as you probably well know, was recently shut down.
Yeah.
And thinking this is, you know, if this has come, and then the next day reading about the Tinhorn Flats and thinking, wow, I said yesterday this would never happen here. Hmm. And today it's happening.
Well, Annalisa, you don't even have to wonder if it's going to happen here. Let me give you an example. By the way, once again, our condolences on living in Washington State. We just want you to know we care for you. And Charlie's in the next room crying, literally crying for you. And but right across the border, just south of you in Oregon, they're talking about putting in an eternal mask mandate.
Yes.
Forever masks. So that there, with no end, no sunset, no nothing. Everybody has to wear masks from here on until Christ comes back.
For the rest of our lives?
Yes.
Oh, no.
Yeah, but when Christ comes back, he can't go there unless he wears a mask. So, you know, it may be a limited anyway, sorry, Annalisa, just so you know, my degree is in the ministry, so I can make jokes like that.
That's going to be a cool day, I think. But, yes, the mask mandate.
That's right across the border, though. Does that scare you? Because your state is a lot like Oregon.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been a topic of conversation in our house today. This is coming here next. And I actually wrote about that, what they're suggesting for this permanent mandate, which is supposed to go into effect after the temporary mandate expires on May 4th. So that's like 2 weeks away.
But there's... They're insane, for crying out loud. Everywhere, look, first of all, we already know from the CDC, well over 80% of those who catch this are mask wearers around other mask wearers. It's not working. Okay.
Right.
It's not that kind of virus. It you know, it's on surfaces, it's in the air, it's everywhere. You can't dodge it with a mask.
Nope, you can't. And the experts, the medical experts who the Faucis of the world are not listening to, but who are as renowned in the world of epidemiologists, are saying exactly what you're saying. They're saying that these lockdowns have been the biggest mistake we've ever made, and that these mask orders do not work. There is science for the mask not working. I'm not sure about the other direction. I know it's like it goes both ways, right? One day the
right.
masks work, one day they don't. But yeah, I personally get around the mask issue by, one, not wearing it, and also I tell people that I have, you know, if they ask or it's their business, they don't want me in the business. If I don't have a mask on, I don't stay. But we just have to start being defiant in that way. You know, we can't. It's become normalized, and the people who don't wear them are pariahs. I stood outside a pizzeria the other day, and outside, and 10 people around me were all masked up, and clearly they wanted to say something about my not wearing a mask.
Well, you know, yeah, you're a scary person, Annalisa. I mean, yeah. We can tell that just listening. And okay, Annalisa Pesek. It is Pesek, right? That's how you say
it?
Okay.
Pesek, yes.
Just so you know, we wish you the very best up there in Washington State. And, you know, we hope things go well tomorrow morning when stormtroopers are at your door because you don't wear a mask often enough. Hey, how can people read your stuff at the New American?
Well, may the force be with you, Andy.
Thank you. Thank you.
You can find me at thenewamerican.com and that's where my articles are posted at the moment. Yeah, thenewamerican.com.
All right. Everybody want to go read from Annalisa Pesek at thenewamerican.com because she writes great stuff and has just a great look on life. Thank you so much, Annalisa.
Thank you, Andy. Have a great day.
You too. All right. Up next is Golden Eagle Financial. You know, well, you think you know. Let's put it that way. You think you know what you're doing with retirement, right?
I mean, most of us, if we're honest, we know we don't know.
No, we don't know. I mean, we think we know, but we don't because there's so many things coming up and we don't know how to predict them. You've never done this before, folks. You've never retired. But Al Smith has been guiding people just like you to happy retirements for decades. So call Al at 303-744-1128 or you can find Golden Eagle Financial at klzradio.com.
Feel good about your retirement with Al Smith of Golden Eagle Financial. You've already done the heavy lifting by setting money aside for retirement all these years. Now, you're looking about 10 years ahead and asking, how can I be certain I'll have enough income in retirement? That's where creating a plan becomes vitally important. Al Smith will help you develop a strategy for the money waiting in your 401k or IRA. For the past 16 years, financial advisor Al Smith has specialized in helping his clients make the transition from working to retirement. He will help you make decisions now that will preserve your life savings for the future, like creating a plan to fund a long-term healthcare crisis should that become necessary. You've worked hard for your money. Now let's make sure your money works hard for you. Schedule a free consultation with Al Smith of Golden Eagle Financial now at klzradio.com/money. Advisory services offered through Foundation Investment Advisors, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
This happens to me far more than I think it should. Hi, this is Richard Beatty, KLZ 560. I will find a word that applies and form an acrostic that becomes a teachable moment. Today's word, boys and girls, is track. Think of it. I invest in Fitbit to track my steps, calories burned, duration, and miles. I track my money and investments, and I track my projects and my progress. I track my thoughts, responsibilities, and my actions, my creative ideas, and my knowledge. T-R-A-C-K. Integrity is the connective tissue between who I am at home, through my work, and in my community. Are you tracking? Track where you go online. klzradio.com/accountable.
John Rush will give you the confidence to grow. Every single one of the businesses coached by John Rush made more money last year, and most of them are either moving into larger facilities or expanding to add new locations. Because all of them chose to move forward aggressively rather than letting fear hold them back. John Rush will help you take the emotions out of your decisions, starting with the way you manage your employees. Send him an email now, john@rushtoreason.com.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560, Andy Pate filling in for John Rush along with Marie Chavez. And on the line, we got Jersey Joe. Joe, how you doing?
I'm doing good. And yourself?
I'm doing all right, yeah.
I'm doing good.
I do a lousy Jersey accent, but that's why I do it every time you call in. It's my only try.
Charlie says I have to try. I was so bad at it last time. How you doing?
Good enough.
I'm doing good. How you doing, Murray?
I'm all right. How you doing?
I'm doing. You got it down. So it's you without the R. It's not how are you. It's how you without the R, and then it's doing without the G. How you doing?
How you doing? Okay.
How you doing? I'm doing good.
Okay.
I'm doing good.
Living up there, are you even capable of saying howdy?
Hey, y'all.
No, they don't know. By the way, here's a little trivia for you. Do you know we have, you know, of course, down in the South in Texas, you know, they say y'all a lot. You're really right. Do you know where y'all originates from?
No.
It's the last two words in the Bible, and may God bless you all. Amen.
Huh.
Really?
Well, I'm going to say it more often now.
Did you know that if you say howdy in New Jersey, you're literally shot? On site.
It has to be. How you doing?
Exactly.
All right.
Oh, hey, Joe, what's happening?
Well, a couple of questions. Have you played or do you intend to play either the Chuck Schumer clip from 2009 where he talks about illegal immigration being wrong or the Bill Maher clip?
I have it. Do you want to hear some Bill Maher?
I'd love it. I think it's one of the best things I've heard, and particularly from a lefty like Bill Maher. So if you want to play Bill Maher. Marie, have you heard Bill Maher?
I have not. I'm excited.
This is a three...
Is it edited with the curse words out?
I only took 3 minutes in it, and I believe there were no curse words in that 3 minutes.
Okay.
But I know Charlie is diligent.
Get ready with that
behind
dump,
the wheel.
Dump button.
Charlie, just do what you do almost all the time while I am speaking. Just silence it. Very good. Okay, here we go. Bill Maher.
Okay.
Someone showing no symptoms. But what about liberals? You know, the high information by the science people? In a recent Gallup survey, Democrats did much worse than Republicans in getting the right answer to the fundamental question, what are the chances that someone who gets COVID will need to be hospitalized? The answer is between 1 and 5%. 41% of Democrats thought it was over 50%. Another 28% put the chances at 20 to 49. So almost 70% of Democrats are wildly off on this key question and also have a greatly exaggerated view of the danger of COVID-2 and the mortality rate among children. All of which explains why today the states with the highest share of schools that are still closed are all blue states. So if the right-wing media bubble has to own things like climate change denial, shouldn't liberal media have to answer for, how did your audience wind up believing such a bunch of crap about COVID? A new report in The Atlantic says the media won't stop putting pictures of the beach on stories about COVID, even though it's looking increasingly like the beach is the best place to avoid it. Sunlight is the best disinfectant, and vitamin D is the key to a robust immune system. Texas lifted its COVID restrictions recently, and their infection rates went down, in part because of people getting outside to let the sun and wind do their thing. But to many liberals, that can't be right, because Texas and beach-loving Florida have Republican governors. But life is complicated. I've read that the governor of Florida reads. I know we like to think of Florida as only middle school teachers on bath salts having sex with their students in front of an alligator. But apparently the governor is also a voracious consumer of the scientific literature. And maybe that's why he protected his most vulnerable population, the elderly, way better than did the governor of New York. Those are just facts. I know it's irresponsible of me to say them. Look, here's what I'm saying. I don't want politics mixed in with my medical decisions.
Okay.
That last line was so great. That's what all conservatives have been saying. I don't want politics mixed in with my medical decisions.
Oh, absolutely. Joe.
And what? And that was, by the way, from an icon of the liberal left, Bill Maher.
Amazing.
Yes. And by the way, he was wrong in the global warming thing, but that's okay. I'm going to cut him a little slack because he was right on the rest.
We'll give him that one.
Yes.
All right.
Because I got news for you, Bill Maher. I look at COVID and global warming exactly the same way. I look at actual data.
What?
Yeah. And that's why I don't think of global warming as a big problem, because it isn't.
It isn't. Anyway, great clip. And hopefully maybe tomorrow we can do the Chuck Schumer thing where he rails against illegal immigration and talk about how we shouldn't treat these criminals the same way we treat our citizens. So I don't know if you can get that teed up for tomorrow.
I will try and tee it up for tomorrow. Tell you what, first, how about we take a break? Can I hold you over?
Absolutely.
All right, let's take a break here, folks. Flesh and Beck, I know what you're thinking. Something's gone wrong, maybe a car accident, maybe something else, but you can't afford a good lawyer. Well, yes, you can. Kevin Flesh works on a contingency basis. He doesn't get paid if you don't win. So get yourself a great lawyer with Kevin Flesh. FLESCH. Call Flesh and Beck at 303-806-8886 or go to fleshlawfirm.com.
Avoid the pitfalls with Kevin Flesh. Picture this. You're in court before a judge and jury trying to get the at-fault party's insurance company to cover your hospital bills, and the defense attorney pulls out your medical records. Comparing what you said to the police at the scene of your injury to what your doctor transcribed, you've contradicted yourself. You start to get nervous. You don't want to look like an idiot, but you simply don't recall what you said to the police. That was a long time ago. KLC's personal injury attorney, Kevin Flesh of Flesh and Beck Law, prepares you for these kinds of questions so you never need to worry about what to say. Of course, the opposition will always try to call your credibility into question. But with Kevin Flesh, you always know exactly how to respond. Schedule a free consultation now at 303-806-8886. Kevin Flesh of Flesh and Beck Law. Trial tested. Trial ready.
Go with your gut. You know when an estimate from a mechanic doesn't feel right. Maybe they're telling you to fix a bunch of stuff you didn't even know was broken. Maybe their prices seem surprisingly high. The team at Extreme Auto Repair in Parker will give you a second opinion for free, so you know what's reasonable and what's not. They can typically beat the prices of their competitors, but they won't hold it against you if you decide to go back to the first guy. Either way, you have the peace of mind. The team at Extreme Auto Repair wants to keep you safe and keep your vehicle on the road longer, but they never want to pressure you into repairs that you don't really need. So with every estimate, the team at Extreme Auto Repair will give you a priority list, showing you all of your recommended maintenance items in order from the most to least important. That way, you decide what you want to take care of now and what can wait until later. Free second opinions at klzradio.com/extreme. Promises kept.
Okay, a good shop is up next. When you've had a car accident, the insurance company is probably thinking about saving money, not getting you quality work for your car. But you're in control here. Don't let them send you to their shop. Have this number handy, 720-541-7697. Bad accident? You need a good shop.
Get your auto body work and mechanical repairs done at the same place. Most people have one shop for auto body work and another for mechanical repairs and maintenance. But Al Sturm and his team at A Good Shop can handle both. Al and Jamie Sturm are constantly looking for new ways to provide better, more convenient service for their customers because they're driven by one simple goal, to help more people. At A Good Shop in North Glen and Commerce City, they do their best to handle everything in-house so you don't need to be relying on the dealers to get your vehicle back. Bring your vehicle into A Good Shop for auto body work, and they'll take care of your struts, brakes, and alignment at the same time. Auto body and mechanical work, all under one roof. Click on the free virtual estimate button now at klzradio.com/collision and mention KLZ in your virtual estimate request for $100 off your repairs. A good shop in North Glen and Commerce City. Certified collision repair worth referring.
Networks change, benefits change, prescription plans change, and premium costs go up. So you want an independent broker who will compare plans from many different insurance companies, hunting for the right coverage at the best price for you. Group Insurance Analysts, 303-423-0162.
And welcome back to Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Andy Pate sitting in for John Rush along with Marie Chavez. On the line, we got Jersey Joe. By the way, Joe, do you know how to say hello in Wisconsin, where I grew up?
No. How do you say hello in Wisconsin, Andy?
Hey.
Hey.
Is that where you say, hey? Oh, sure, you betcha. No, oh, hey, sure, you betcha.
Oh, don't you know? Yeah. hey, Joe, do you want a beer?
So you pronounce the H, because up in Canada, it's A. They don't use the H up in Canada.
We use the H more in Wisconsin because we're better than Canada. We don't want to fall to those depths, okay? We're very wise. What else you got for me, sir?
Well, let's talk about the biggest lie of the weekend. Marie, did you hear anything on the news this weekend about how many mass shootings we've had in this country so far this year? Did you happen to catch anything on the news?
A lot. I don't know the exact number.
Well, the number that was quoted was 147 mass shootings so far this year. And I just Googled 147 mass shootings so far, and I came back with 4,382 hits. All right? Every single news station I looked at has, you know, quoted that. The network news, the local affiliates, TV, it's been quoted over and over and over. Now, when the average American hears the phrase mass shooting, they think about somebody going into a Walmart or a FedEx center or a shopping center and shooting and killing a bunch of people, right?
Right.
Which, by the way, is very, very close to how the U.S. government officially defines a mass shooting. Their definition is four or more victims, and these are keywords, victims killed at random. In other words, they're not family members, they're strangers. Killed at random in a public place by a single shooter. That is the official U.S. government definition. Four or more killed, public place, at random, single shooter. Now, so how do we get to 147? Well, there's an anti-gun organization called the Gun Violence Archive. They've got a website. You can go there. They track all sorts of school shootings. Anyway, they have conveniently come up with their own definition of a mass shooting, which is radically different than how the U.S. government defines a mass shooting.
Whenever someone is offended...
Close. Their definition is, well, four or more people killed or wounded, period. They don't put public place. They don't limit it to a single shooter. So as an example, if on a Saturday night in Chicago, two opposing groups of gangbangers start taking pot shots at each other, multiple shooters, and they wound up and four of the gangbangers are wounded, none dead, zero fatalities, and maybe even some of the wounders are the shooters themselves, and they wind up in the emergency room being treated for gunshots. According to the Gun Violence Archive, that was a mass shooting.
Yeah, I was kind of thinking, Joe, with the way they were defining it, pretty much any gang activity,
right,
where you have any kind of battles is going to go into that category, right?
Right. And unfortunately, another thing that happens in this country is an estranged husband will go home and, you know, kill his ex-wife and the parents and, you know, and the sister, your sister-in-law. And that happens, but that takes place in a home. You know, it's not random, and the victims are known to the shooter. What people fear about mass shootings, oh my God, I could be out shopping today and it could happen to me. Well, if an estranged boyfriend or ex-husband is killing family members, that is not a threat to you unless you happen to be related to the shooter. So using this incredible definition, biased hyperbolic definition, they come up with 147, and then you go to the website and you can actually look at all 147. You click on the instance and you can download it as an Excel spreadsheet. I did that, by the way. You know, in more than half of the 147 mass shooting incidents, more than half, nobody died in more than half.
So are they just worried, Joe, that maybe we'll stop being terrified out of our minds about COVID and we need to keep being terrified out of our minds about something else?
Well, they've been doing this for years. This is not the first, you know, they have a great PR. They send out these press releases. They have a massive mailing list of news outlets, and they do a great job of getting this out. Every time there's a mass shooting, a real mass shooting, they send out this hyperbolic, exaggerated list, and it gets played. Again, Google, when you get some time, Google the phrase 147 mass shootings. Hmm. You'll be stunned at how many news agencies irresponsibly reported that as if it was a fact.
Now, I'm curious, the four or more victims, the actual government definition, killed at random. So when a student goes to their classroom and kills their own fellow students, is that still considered at random?
Yes, because it's whatever four students, you know, were there to be shot. You know, he's not saying, I'm going to school, I'm going to kill Paul and Fred and Sally and Jane. It's, I'm going to go into the school and shoot whichever four students I can find.
Okay, so it's still random. Got it.
It's still random. He's not picking his specific targets.
Okay.
But yes, so school shootings are included. The other one, which they've also floated with, 29 mass shootings in this month alone. That's their other companion statistic. So, you know, Mark Twain, you know, don't believe anything you hear and only half of what you read. It's just sad that statistic was floated by so many news agencies, repeated by so many news agencies, and so many people have heard it and believed it. Now, what is the real number? Well, if you look at their list, so far this year, there's only been 12 incidents where four or more victims were killed, but in half of those incidents, they took place in a home or apartment, and one was even a drug. Apparently, it was a drug family. There was a gang war. One, you know, came into the apartment and you know, killed four drug dealers, you know, sitting around the kitchen table cutting cocaine. A couple other were family domestic violence incidents. So how many actual mass shootings have we had? Six. Hmm. Yeah, and you can name them. We had the Georgia massage parlor murders. We had the FedEx incident. Let me see.
Here in Boulder.
Well, Joe, let me ask you something here really quick. So those are all mass shootings. But what's happening in Seattle and Minneapolis are peaceful protests. Let me ask you, does the left ever call anything what it is?
Never, never. And by the way, on the topic of peaceful protests, and we may want to spend some time, once again, we find that some of the, quote, peaceful protesters who get arrested have been arrested in other cities in the past 30 days. So my question is, since these people are obviously have no formal employment, who is paying them to travel from city to city, paying their living expenses, paying their travel expenses, putting them up in hotels, and why? Who is funding these people to go and riot in these cities, and why are they funding them?
You know, you're always called a conspiracy nut if you throw out names like George Soros. But why wouldn't he pour money into that?
Actually, it turns out he is. And if you look at these liberal websites that I visit every morning, like Being Liberal and The Daily Cost, the other 98%, turns out, you know, but they have no source of revenue. They're, you know, they don't do advertising. Turns out that Soros is funding several of them. So you got these whack-a-job liberal websites that all they do is spew Goebbels-like propaganda. I mean, it is
right.
Just incredible. And we can talk tomorrow about the lies that liberals believe. But why are these, you know, what's the point? Why are people like Soros funding the protesters and funding these sites that are nothing more than propaganda outlets?
You know, I think a big part of it, Joe, is just to scare people on the right. And also, by the way, to scare people in the middle. You look at all these businesses buckling to the left. Well, why do they buckle to the left? Because they know the left is dangerous and we're not.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and it, you know, so when BLM comes out and says, hey, we want you to take a stand against Georgia law or whatever, all kinds of woke companies buckle, and I don't think it's because all of them have woke executives, although there's a lot of that. I think it's just fear.
And when they buckle, by the way, they donate, which is how that the head of the BLM bought her third house for $1.4 million in Beverly Hills.
Yeah, we're going to be talking about that tomorrow.
Okay, good. But yeah, but when they buckle, they donate. They virtue signal with their checkbook, which I think is the ultimate goal of organizations like BLM. They're just in it for the money. Soros, on the other hand, I think he has ulterior motives.
I think you're right. All right, sir, that'll wrap it up for today. You take care. We'll see you tomorrow. And, Marie, really quick, how can people get to our website and see any kind of articles or any other information?
KLZradio.com.
KLZradio.com. Folks, that'll do it for today. If you missed the first hour, it replays next. Fix It Radio. Well, you know what? That's going to be coming up on the weekend. Never mind.
But tune in for sure on the weekend.
John will be right back here on Wednesday. Until then, and until tomorrow, drive safe. God bless. And thanks for joining us at Rush to Reason, KLZ 560.